Collective welcomes you. Show countdown engaged. You now have 60 seconds to prepare yourself. Begin program.
Good day. We are ECP. We are back at you. We are officially in our two-week countdown to ICCC, and we're completely excited. So much going on with this con. So much to come. We want to get in a quick podcast before we bombard you with so many good shows and so many good interviews coming up in 2 weeks. Before I say, Jim, in the board, was that one you showed us yesterday official?
It's official. Like, it's official.
Okay, so there was a last-minute add-on yesterday that we are completely excited about, especially if you're a Indiana Jones fan. John Rhys-Davies was announced yesterday, and we're all excited. Yes. If you're Lord of the Rings, Sliders, Indiana Jones, James Bond, you got to come and meet this guy. This guy is an amazing, amazing guy. I cannot wait personally to meet this guy. Yes. I have so much to talk about. I don't even need to prep for him. I was always amazing. I even have his toy. You know, like, our topic today is going to be summer blockbusters. Before we get into that, I just got to get my excitement out because it's always built up.
Oh, yeah.
Is that I finally got a toy of Salah, his character in
I
wasn't going to get any signatures at ICCC. I was going to concentrate on the show, but I might have to slip away and get his autograph on that toy. So please come. There's so many more. If you don't know who's coming, you can go onto the website.
ICNashville.com.
You can go on his Facebook and all the social media. See
listed
who's
below.
Coming.
Listed below.
Listed below. See, if I would just pay attention to my little screen here. listed below. ICNashville.com. See the guests. You can prepay for signatures and all that good stuff. You can find out the vendors. There's going to be food. It's at a new location this year. A lot of good stuff. This is going to be the biggest show yet, and we're excited to be a part of its build. So let's jump right in. We got so many. We are finally over the COVID hump and back into summer blockbusters. We actually have a list of stuff. Yeah. We're going to have Ryan. Do what?
Woo-ha!
So, like, Ryan's got a list up. We're going to go, but before we get to the list of the stuff, it's not out yet. There was a big one that just came out. We're going to do a quick little recap of what we thought of it, and that was Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes.
That just came out, was it last week or the week before? That's probably the start of your summer blockbusters. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to throw out there that I wasn't really impressed. I do think it was an emotional ride because of where it started, where it is, especially since when Guardians 1 came out, we were all like, what's this garbage coming out? And we fell in love with it.
Yep.
And now it's over. And I will say, I think all the characters had good send-offs and good ends for them to be more Guardians of the Galaxy movies. But I just felt like the movie was... What's a nice way of putting it? It could have been a little shorter because a lot of it was a waste of my time.
Well, so I would say it's the weaker of the three for sure. I didn't think it was totally bad. My major critique of it was it did not give me the payoff I needed for Adam Warlock.
Since they've been teasing him for a long time.
For a long, long time. I did not get the Adam Warlock payoff that I should have got. And I was very disappointed in that. Here's the thing. They could have just left him out again and just ignored him that they ever teased him for all I'm concerned, for the way they handled him. I would have been happier if they would have just kept ignoring him. But I was not happy with the way they treated his character. Outside of that, I thought it was a pretty decent movie.
You know, I didn't see it because I'm waiting because, you know, it's not on the top of my list. But I've seen a lot of people upset about the Adam Warlock thing. Like, a lot of people anticipating and everything. And then he came in and a lot of people left very disappointed about how they did his character. So that's the first time I've... That's interesting. Okay. How long was it?
Over 2 hours, like two and a half hours.
2.5 hours.
Micah's suspiciously quiet over here.
Like, I know. I was like, Mike,
very close.
I
got his arms crossed, and
no, I'm just taking it in. I honestly thought it was the best Marvel movie since Spider-Man.
Oh Jesus! This is why I don't take movie tips from Micah.
I mean, it closed off a circle. You got to remember, it's like a trilogy, man. Like it's the ending.
It is a trilogy.
I know, but it's the ending of I love the story they gave Rocket. It was very emotional.
I did love that. That was good.
I loved how we finally got to understand Groot at the end.
Yep.
I
love Spider-Head Groot.
Yeah. I loved every character. The Adam Warlock thing, I honestly didn't care.
Really?
I don't think he's that big in the Marvel comics. Okay, yeah, he's super, super huge for the Infinity War stuff. And I honestly didn't care. I thought, okay, you're setting him up to, like, we can have a better story for him later on. But the Adam Warlock stuff, I mean, I get it as a comic reader. I get it that, you know, Adam Warlock is a big character in the comic books, but yeah. I honestly, he's no Iron Man. He's no Captain America in my eyes. He's like a Black Widow for me. So, well, hey Matt, you okay? You got a headache?
He was a new character. He's somebody that Marvel could spend some time developing a story.
I get it. I just don't think that non-comic book readers give to. I don't think they care. I don't think it's big enough for the not comic book reader to care. I think he was introduced nice enough that, you know, they took him out of his cocoon too early, and that's why he's not fully developed.
Yeah.
That part didn't bother me. I get it. I understand why that person could be mad about Adam Warlock's character, but in the long run of the story, it didn't bother me. The one thing I loved about the movie is it showed us that Rocket is one of the biggest characters in the Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, his story throughout the first, second, and third one was like, it almost opened my eyes for Rocket. I was like, oh man, like,
yeah.
And when he came back to life and the other sister, Nebula.
Nebula. Yeah.
I was like,
yeah. When he starts talking and she breaks down, I didn't realize, like, it made the other movies make more kind of like her and Rocket were the only ones in Endgame who were gone, who the Guardians who were alive when the rest were gone in the 5 years. So they just had each other.
That's right.
So that emotional breakdown with the character, like, just oh man, hit me right here in the feels. Like, and that character started off as a hard, you know, evil badass character, and it's a full circle for a character. And I think that's what the movie was for. It wasn't for to be some big in-game type movie. It was James Gunn going, hey, let me finish my story. I have a story. I want to finish it. And that's, I mean, maybe I was going in with that thought process before going in, because we all know the Marvel movies that have come after Endgame, a few of them have been good and the rest have been trash.
Well, you so, know, some of them, I wonder if they're suffering from Endgame syndrome. And the I think they kind of, Marvel kind of set themselves up for failure, because after Endgame, they made, so we had Spider-Man Far From Home, and then
Shang-Chi.
Yeah, and then Shang-Chi, and then you had the Eternals, which was a big pile of crap.
Black Widow.
But, and the Black Widow movie should have come a whole lot longer. So there was, they were doing a whole lot of things that they knew they were going to get flack for.
I mean, it was very un-Marvel, I think.
But I think when they made Spider-Man No Way Home, Spider-Man No Way Home, in my opinion, was in-game level. It was that good. And I feel like by making a movie that's just in-game level, that's not necessarily anything that was built up to be in-game level, it kind of sets them up for failure. So now you can't have those basic storyline movies. Now the average moviegoer, you know, not the, you know, adamant moviegoer, but the average moviegoer is expecting an in-game level every time. And I did not go in expecting Guardians to be in-game level. I was going in. I just wanted some storyline. I was looking for that, you know, somebody to die, essentially. I thought Drax was an easy one because Batista stated he wants nothing to do with these movies anymore. So,
see, okay. I'll say this. It just depends on what you enjoy out of a movie. I'll say that for Guardians of the Galaxy. I didn't enjoy it because I didn't feel like it was a Guardians of the Galaxy movie. I felt like it was a, all these people are codependent on each other.
Well, they are.
Rocket, I can't let you die. I'm going to risk the world to get you a reboot of your... Get out of here. Look, if you had taken out Adam Warlock, the movie would not have changed. He had no effect on the movie whatsoever. It was just a character.
Well,
they
brought in Star-Lord.
Like it was time to appease the people. Huh?
Yeah. He brought Star-Lord in from space towards the end, so...
I think this movie for Adam Warlock is a building block movie for him. I believe, like, I wouldn't be shocked if he got his own movie later, or if they do another Guardians and he's part of the Guardians and he gets an even more level character. I just think there wasn't.
Go ahead.
If Star-Lord had died, like because you were thinking, Drax or Rocket, they were teasing like Drax or Rocket are probably going to be the ones to go because, you know, Batista doesn't want to be in Marvel movies anymore. And Rocket was the center of the movie. You were thinking they're probably the ones that are most likely to die. Mm-hmm. That didn't happen. So at the end, when Star-Lord sacrificed himself to save, you know, who he did, and then he was dying, I was like, this is it. This is how it should end. Mm-hmm. You know, this is... This was kind of like my tease in Fast 7. Like, I was like, you know, Brian's going to die. Like, this is how it should be. This is how it should end. It's just, and then it just doesn't happen. And I'm like, oh my God, we just can't let go of characters anymore. So
I actually was okay with no one dying.
I would have liked it if Star-Lord had died. Like, I would have been that is probably the send-off I needed, and then the rest can go on, and then we can go to new characters,
which they kind of did. But they also, in the end credit scene, they also told us Star-Lord's coming back again.
They said the legendary
Star-Lord. What does that mean, though?
That's a whole comic book series he got to himself. So,
I wouldn't be shocked if he got his own movie.
Huh? Yeah, that's
Disney Plus series. or Disney Plus or movie. I mean, I actually, so going in, I was thinking the same thing, Matt. I was like, okay, they've been teasing that, you know, Drax is going to die because what, you know, Batista doesn't want to be in it and Rocket and all that. And I was like, oh, they're going to kill Star-Lord. Like immediately before going in the movie, I'm like, Star-Lord's dead. Like he's the one who's going to die because it's the twist. It's, you know, and then when he didn't, I was like, okay, okay, I'm fine with it. I mean, I like how it's kind of a reverse Night Shyamalan almost, where I was expecting someone to die, and I'm like, oh, here we go, here we go, here we go. Oh, okay.
And the twist nobody's is no one die. Dies. No one
right.
Dies.
The twist is no one dies.
Yeah.
Which I was because someone has died in every movie.
And so, I've never seen, but I think after Endgame, I think I was telling Matt this because I'm pretty sure. Man, I think me and you saw all the Marvel movies in the theater for that first phase. Like after Endgame, I was done. Like I was just Marvel overload, and I think that's why I just wasn't excited to see Guardians 3. I wasn't excited to see. I do want to see Black Panther 2, but I just after Endgame, man, I needed that break. Like that's coming from me not seeing. Yeah.
Okay. One more thing, and then we'll get to the movies. Is even when Star-Lord survived, I'd have been like, okay, he's going to be deformed because his whole face was like jacked up from space messing it up. Yeah. He was completely fine at the end.
Yeah, he healed within seconds because, you know, and that's normal.
I'm getting this whole these people can't let go of Marvel movies. Like Chris Hemsworth can't let it go.
No.
He'll make Thor movies till the end of time. Like he's already accepted his typecast and he's already just... he's just never gonna let it go.
Some people you just have to embrace that. I mean, look at Daisy Ridley. When Star Wars got over, she was like, oh no, I'm done with Star Wars, I want to go do real stuff, and then nobody would cast her, and now they're like, hey, you want to play Rey again? And she's like, yes please,
all right,
yes, I need work.
Micah brought it up. I think the whole Rey continuing thing was a panic move.
You think so?
I think yes. Because
hey, that's a whole nother podcast.
Yeah. Well, they had been teasing a whole trilogy of movies, and we didn't get it, and people are quitting, and blah blah blah. They're like, oh God, what can we give the people right now? We're gonna give them a High Republic. We're gonna give them an end to the Mandalorian series, and we're gonna get Rey back. See if she'll take money and do another Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
That to me is a panic move. I'm going to leave it at that. That is another podcast.
That is a whole another podcast.
Oh, yes, it is.
But, so if, you know, I didn't think Guardians was terrible. I went to this drive-in to see it, and I'm glad I did, and paid $8 to see it. If I had paid like more than that, I'd have been like, oh, God. So I enjoyed it. It was a fun movie. It wasn't crap like other Marvel movies, like Eternals.
Oh my God, the biggest piece of
that was a piece of crap. I think we're all unanimous on that one.
So Ryan's got a list. We're gonna go just pick out the biggest of the
what's the next biggest
week
you think
week. And we'll say part one because I know we won't be able to get to them all.
I think we need to piggyback off Matt's Fast 7. Let's go into Fast 10, which comes out May 19th. I'm excited.
Y'all have fun talking about this. I'm out. I hate the Fast series.
I'm excited about Jason Momoa being the bad guy. I think he's going to bring some kind of humor to it. But I was so burned on Fast 9 that I am really hesitant about Fast.
What?
Like, it's got to blow
my... Were you outer space burned?
Dude, that right there, man. Like, I remember looking over at and I was like, what has this franchise come to? Like,
I can tell you this much. That whole space part, I have a feeling the directors was like, what's the most asinine, ridiculous thing we could put in this movie and see if people love it? And we'll pay money for it. And they were like, let's put Tyrese and Ludacris in space in a car. And they were like, I love it. Let's do it.
Use the guys from Fast 3 to get them to go to space and not like real astro air, you know, engineers.
And I mean, that's the thing. You know what? I would have been great. Fast 7 was the last one.
Yes.
I would have been fine if one was the last one.
No, four and five were good. Four and five were good.
I've enjoyed them all, other than the last one. And Fast 8, but I mean, it wasn't. But Fast 7, with that send-off, I think that should have been done. We're out. You got your freedom. Yeah.
You know what, Ryan? What if they did Fast and the Furious 1 through 7, and then 8 was the spinoff? They just didn't call it Fast and the Furious anymore. They call it The Adventures of Dom or something stupid. I don't know.
I mean,
and then made it its own thing. That way, you know, because I have OCD, and if I watch 1 through 7, I have to keep going because they're all called Fast something.
Yep. Right.
And
do you include Tokyo Drift in that too?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So personally,
Vin Diesel's in it. Drift.
I love Tokyo Drift.
Tokyo Drift has grown on me.
I thought it was so separate, and I have nostalgia with it, but it's not a great movie per se, but I have a lot of nostalgia with Tokyo Drift, so I love watching it. But I will say, for this new Fast and Furious movie, I am excited for the fact that Momoa's character is just creating chaos. He has no agenda anymore. He's like, you know, you killed my father, and I'm just going to kill everybody. I think this is a great opportunity to kill Brian. And I know a lot of people are going to be upset, but like, that has to happen. Mm-hmm. Like, at some point, that's got to happen, because we can't ignore the fact that Brian is alive, not doing anything anymore. We have to respect the character and be like, this is the reason he's got to be, this is your way out. This is, to me, this is your healing from Fast 9's ridiculousness, is Brian sets off something in Dom that Dom becomes chaotic himself. Like, he doesn't care if he becomes a criminal again.
All right.
Let's go back to the criminal element.
And that's
No, I was just saying, the one thing that bugs me about the Fast and the Furious movies after 7 is Brian not be there. I almost wish they killed him off in 7 instead of giving him the send off.
I thought they were.
Yeah, just because it's like, look, if you knew you were going to make more movies, do you really think that your best friend, ride or die partner, is just going to sit at home with his kids and let Mia, hey, honey, I got this. I'll be the stay-at-home dad. I understand that Dom is kidnapped, like, has a son now. And no, I don't want to see that kid. I ain't Uncle Brian. It's all good. Like, too much stuff where Brian would not sit on the sideline has happened to where you'd be like, wait, what? You're telling me that all this stuff has gone down and Brian's like, yo, Mia, just take my stead, man. I'm good. I don't need to help. Like, that's the part that drives me nuts, is I'm like, there's no way.
Yeah.
I mean, I have tons of best friends, and there's no way if my friends are going on an adventure and something's happening to them that I'm not riding or dying. Like, it's just find a babysitter. Hide them. Do something. Like, I almost wish that they would have kept going with his brother Cody and just CGI'd his face or replaced the character or killed him off and had Brian have a twin brother or some stupid thing like that to where it's like, hey, man, this guy, Dom, he killed my best friend, you know, long lost brother, something like that. At least that would make sense and I could learn to love a character again. But now you're just telling me that what? Three more movies happen and Brian's just like, nah, what, there's a submarine? No, nah, I don't want to be part of that. Nah.
That's the thing. Okay. You figured, I 100% agree with you, and me and Matt have talked about this. There is no way that Brian is sitting at home while Dom's going through this. There's no way.
Yeah.
And, you know, as much as Dom and that whole film talks about family and everything, think about this. He has never lost anybody close to him in all the movies. Am I right?
Except his dad. That's it.
But we don't know about him. Forget his dad. Yeah. But like, if Brian was killed off, that would set Dom off into a whole new
right
thing. So I agree with y'all. I truthfully believe that Brian needs to die, and people are going to hate that, but that's the only way you're going to keep these movies going with the emotions. And I swear, if Jason Momoa turns good at the end like they've been doing all these, I'm walking out. I'll be done.
I can tell you where you're going to lose me. If Jason Momoa ends up being a third cousin from somebody twice removed from the family or something crazy. You know, okay, so Fast Nine. I don't know what people were thinking to make John Cena Vin Diesel's brother, because they look nothing alike. You know, considering Vin Diesel, you know, and John, you know what I'm saying. Is that right there, when they made that happen, I was like, oh God, this is already going to be a ridiculous movie. And then Vin Diesel surfs a car down a falling mountain. Then you send Ludacris and Tyrese into space in a car,
in a Fiero.
I was like, I kind of felt like I was watching Cabin Fever. I was like, this is a joke. This is not real. I'm like, I'm looking for like somebody going like, you were punked. Like, that's not the real movie. Like, I didn't like 1 through 7. 7 should have ended it. Or if you wanted to continue it, Brian should have died. They set it up that way. Brian was already saying his goodbyes while he was alive. That was him acting. He was kind of already doing his goodbyes because he didn't think he was going to come out of it. I thought that was an amazing opportunity, since it was the real Brian that filmed that part, that they could have thrown that in there to where he could have died and let go of that character, because he was already set up to do so. And then they just didn't do it. And then 8 came out, and I'm like, all right, you know, whatever. And it was a good movie. It was a fun movie. I enjoyed it. But
wasn't horrible.
I was like, I don't know where this is going. Are they just the new G.I. Joes? Like, is this what the Criminal Undermine did?
You know what else I hated about 9, other than, and I know we're taking a lot of time on this, but let's just, I hated the way Han should have been a surprise.
Yeah.
And I hate the way...
Oh, yeah, that they showed it in the trailer.
Looking at each other in the movie, how they explained how he survived that crash. It was like, are you serious? Like, it was a hologram. Was it a hologram? Am I correct?
Yeah, it was some stupid... Like, did they know he was going to die? Like, that was...
Right. No, they... Didn't they switch him out? Like, he comes around a corner and another car takes off. That looks
something like that. It was like so that. Dumb, but
yeah, it was.
So if Han came back, why isn't Jesse back? Why isn't the Einstein of cars back? Like,
did he get killed?
I don't know. We kind of saw him get shot.
You see him get shot, and you see Van go away. But do they ever really clarify that he's dead?
That's
like,
true.
Han died in a blowing up car, but apparently he didn't. So it's no, like,
good point.
I think the Universal ride, the Universal Fast and Furious ride, is a beautiful.
Yeah, that was garbage.
I think it's a beautiful metaphor for this movie series. A lot of hype, complete letdown.
And the worst part is, apparently, Fast X is now a trilogy. They're going to make this one and two more. It's a part one, part two.
Won't be getting my money. I'm not going to the theater to see any of
this. I'm sorry. I am 9 movies in. I ride or die. I'm all the way now. I don't care. No. It could be complete trash. Done. I have to watch it. My OCD, I'm with Matt. It's like my OCD is there. I have to watch it.
I like the first movie. I own the first movie, and I can play the first movie, and I can be done with the first movie. I'm just, that's all that exists in my mind. I'm good with that.
All right, what's the next movie?
All right. So y'all tell me if y'all want to. What about The Little Mermaid? Let's talk Disney.
They're getting a lot of flack for that movie.
It's going to make $1 billion.
I'll say this.
You know, for all the controversy that it's a black mermaid, I couldn't care less. It's like,
I don't either.
When did mermaids get, you know, what's the... you know, whitewashed. When have you seen a real mermaid? Do real mermaids exist? Are they
right,
white?
Right.
You know, like, who cares? Like, she's, you know, she's a good actress.
She can sing.
Yeah, she can sing. Yeah. There you go. Done.
Like, that's all you really need. I will say this about the trailer, though. I am upset that the crab or lobster or whatever, I'm forgetting.
Davy Diggs?
No.
Sebastian?
Sebastian.
Yeah. I am disappointed in Sebastian's voice. Like, he doesn't have... The original was so iconic that, you know...
I kind of agree with that, but I almost think that that trying to copy it would be too much. Like, people would still try to judge it to it. I'd rather almost have it more unique than be like, oh, he doesn't sound like this man.
Exactly, but that's what made the movie to me. Like,
I know, but
he was my favorite character.
I see where you're coming from, and I agree, but I can understand why they're like, okay, let's not make it super Jamaican, you know.
The last few live action adaptations that Disney's put out, I think they've failed miserably on. I mean, I think they haven't done like Lion King.
I loved the Lion King.
I hated it. It took out my favorite scene, the Luau song with Timon and Pumbaa. I mean, it took it out, and then they tried to put in a tiny little tidbit of Be Our Guest, and I was like, that one little piece of that movie ruined the whole movie for me.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of Lion King. I'm with you, Jim, on that one.
Did you like to be cuddled?
I'll take Rylan to see Little Mermaid, and I'm excited about seeing it, honestly, because that girl can sing.
I just hope they do a good job with the adaptation. Disney hasn't really shown me a whole lot with their live action adaptations lately.
Like, I know they're making a ton of money.
They are. I mean, I'm not saying it won't be successful. I agree with you. It'll make $1 billion, and I will go see it. But we'll see. I don't know.
Cast a good artist. Melissa McCarthy. That's going to be great.
Oh, that is a good casting. Yeah. That is a really good casting. I just hope they don't waste it.
I'll say this, man. I don't remember. The last one, I think I didn't go see Lion King. I'm blanking on which one I did go see of the live action. I did see
Mulan.
Aladdin. No, I didn't.
Aladdin was good.
Well, the thing is they're just bringing the cartoons back to life, and I would rather watch the cartoon. But I get why they're doing it, because they're not reaching me. They're reaching the new generation.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So, like, I'm not upset that they're doing it. I just personally, and I don't have a little child anymore, so... I just don't have any desire. Like, I'm like, I can go back and watch the cartoons that I grew up on that I can feel good about, and like,
and
the
I
original
love, yeah, right? and I'm happy with that, yeah.
And I'm happy with that, exactly. Yeah. Like, I get why they're doing them, and they're making trillions of dollars is because all the kids are going to see
for the new generation, man.
Yeah. What's the next movie?
Yeah, so let's talk about the one I'm excited about also. Spider-Man Across the Universe.
Oh, billion dollars. Billion right dollars there. All day.
You just put Spider-Man, $1 billion. The first one was amazing. The way they do the art, the way they do, excuse me, the animation was groundbreaking to me for the first one.
I
just hope that they don't waste the story with all the spider. I hope they don't Love and Thunder it. Where the story lacks, and they try to put too much comedy in it.
Too much humor, yeah.
Humor. Where you're just like, lack of story to try to do humor and like, give me a good story. I want good story.
I'm with you.
Okay. And I'm like, I'm not totally opposite on that. I'm like, it's animated, so I don't have high expectation. That's why I love the first one so much. It's because
The first one
was so good because I had no expectation. I don't have expectation of animated movies. This is probably why I love every Batman animated movie that comes out and they put on HBO, or every DC, because they come straight from some story. They're like, hey, let's just put that in animation, which I think Star Wars should do.
Yes.
Is they're just taking story that's already written and making a cartoon out of it. It's easy money.
Yeah.
And I don't have an expectation for this movie. I am excited to see it because I'm a big Spider-Man fan. And it will have a lot of characters, but like if it didn't have much of a storyline, as long as it looked pretty and they had some humor and I come out of it like, oh, that was good. That was cool. Oh, and it must have a good soundtrack. I'm sorry. The soundtrack to the
first one
was freaking amazing.
It was
and
good.
I'm like,
it was really good.
The soundtrack better be just as good. Like, I hope they put some work in it.
Yep.
I know. I just want to ask you real quick. Did you guys think Guardian soundtrack? I meant to ask that. Lived up to
it. I liked it. I loved it. Actually,
I've loved it.
I know. Off topic. I meant to ask that question. And I forgot. I thought it did too. Yeah. Okay, back on the Spider-Man.
No, you're good. And Oscar Isaac. I like him. Yeah, I don't care. Oscar Isaac, all day and whatever. He's in the. I'm sold.
I mean, like, if Oscar Isaac's doing anything, I'm sold.
What about Transformers? They don't.
Okay, so Transformers: Rise of the Beast. This.
I'm sorry, was everybody Spider-Man?
No, we're done. We're done. Yeah, we didn't have to go far in that one.
Okay,
this is Trans Arena with Transformers.
Okay, so this kind of continues on down the same path in creators from the Bumblebee movie. And the Bumblebee movie was, in my opinion, the Transformers movie I've always wanted.
I'm glad you said that. I really liked the Bumblebee
movie. So all the other Transformer movies, they still have a place in my heart. I still love them. I just feel like they were throwing in the cursing characters and they were doing a whole lot of things that they felt like they had to sell tickets and to appeal to a wider range, wider audience, a more adult audience or whatever. I just feel like they dropped the ball severely in that first run. The Bumblebee movie, I feel like, was Transformers perfection. I mean, everything about that movie, I loved it. Every ounce of it. And they're going with the same. This is kind of like a continuation of that story. It's just a new story. And I'll be honest, I did not like the animation. I did not get into the Beast stories in Transformers from the animation side. But I've started to read up more on it now lately. And I am super, super excited based on the trailers and the story, what I've been reading about the movie, because it looks like they're using the same creative to make this movie, and I am really excited about it.
How did y'all like the? Okay, so Jim, you touched the Shia LaBeouf ones. Did you like those?
So they have a place in my heart, but I feel like Shia LaBeouf's character was way overacted. I thought Shia LaBeouf way overacted that. It went way too overboard. There are elements of those movies that I still love and I still like, and I can still go back and watch. I just feel like they perfected it with the Bumblebee movie. I just feel like that one was pure Transformers perfection.
Okay.
Go ahead, Mike. I got some opinion, but it's probably not as strong as y'all. So
the problem I have with this new, I love the Bumblebee movie. I loved it. Okay. And this new one looks good. I like the Beast Wars. I watched a little bit of the Beast Wars when I was younger. The problem I have is I wish they would have just rebooted, because like the Transformers from the first one were gone and they came back. Mm-hmm. So you're telling me they were here way before, so they're going to leave again, I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping that this movie clears up the whole Unicron thing from the last one with
Unicron's Mark in Walter. It. Yeah,
I know. Unicron's yeah. I mean, we've seen him. So because one, I thought they did Unicron dirty in that last one. I was like, come on now.
Yeah,
it's Unicron. I do agree with you. I think this one is going to be the one for the fans from the Transformers, the movie and the cartoons are going to want this one.
Yep.
The animals one is different because in the Beast Wars cartoon, the gorilla is Optimus Prime.
Optimus Primal.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So it's going to be different
But Optimus Prime is in it though. I mean, baseline Transformers are still in it. So this is a collective war.
I just wish they would have rebooted the franchise the way they kept with the Bumblebee movie, kept with what they're doing. I just wish that these ones had nothing to do with the other ones.
I don't think they do.
They do, because they've said that they're going to lead up to an event to where the Transformers leave, and that Unicron is going to be where he is for the last, like, that's why they're bringing Unicron in.
I could be wrong. But didn't Bumblebee turn into the car that Shia LaBeouf picks out in the first movie at the end of Bumblebee?
He did.
Yeah, in the first Transformers movie, Bumblebee was a scout who got marooned on Earth.
Right.
And he stayed on Earth the whole time, which is why the Bumblebee movie makes sense. Like, he was a scout, and then, like, he calls the Autobots, hey, I found a planet we could be on, come to us. And the Autobots, you know, that's when they all fall from the sky and whatever, and blah, blah, blah. But
Right. Now
you're telling me that in 1994 they were already on Earth?
Yeah.
And then are they going to leave? Like, it just doesn't make sense to me. Right. That's why I wish they would just reboot the franchise with the same Bumblebee type, and they could have kept the same type of Transformers, and I still would have been fine with it. Just been like, hey, these movies have nothing to do with the other four movies. Like,
now, and speaking, I do agree. Speaking as an outsider, because the only reason I enjoy Transformers is because Jim watched it as a kid. He would have it on. I wasn't the one that was like, ooh, Transformers. I will say, like, just personally, what got me into cartoons as a kid was X-Men in the 90s. You know, like, me and Jim watched a lot of cartoons, but I started paying attention when X-Men.
Yeah.
That was probably what started for me. But, like, Jim, like, watched Mask, Transformers, Johnny Quest, stuff like that. So all that has a place in my heart. So that's why, from the outside looking in, I really like Transformers, because it, you know, I can watch a new storyline, but have some nostalgia, you know, like I can just enjoy it for what it is. I don't have any knowledge. When y'all say Unicron, that sounds like a failed corporation to me. or like a corporation that embezzled a lot of money and the government had to bail out or something, like, you know, whatever. So like, when I watch it, I'm just watching it for the movie. I will say one thing that kind of killed my vibe into wanting to go see Transformer movies is the last one me and Steel watched was over 3 hours long, and I was ready to get up and move, and like, it didn't keep me in it for 3 hours. So I'm like, if they just make it 2 hours, two hours tops, and keep the storyline good, then I will have fun no matter what. It's Transformers, it's a fun movie.
At the beginning of the Bumblebee movie, I got Cybertron, I got Soundwave sending Ravage out, you know, Ravage, Transform, you know, and he came out of his chest, and I'm like, oh my god, I'm a kid again. I got Jetfire. Jetfire is one of my faves, man. And I am with you, Micah, though. I do believe the series could have been completely rebooted. I don't know if y'all probably not being as big a fan of Transformers. They have a new animated series on Netflix that is really, really good. And what's really crazy about it is Peter Cullen is not the voice of Optimus Prime. Listen, Peter Cullen's not going to live forever. Okay.
Yeah, but he's still alive.
Just like James Earl Jones. You know
what? Peter Cullen can sell his voice just like James Earl Jones did.
He could, but if he doesn't, we have to live with the fact that he didn't do it and he's gone. So, you know, at some point, oh my gosh, Micah just left. What?
All right, we'll carry on without Micah
because, wow. Okay. I guess I made him really mad.
And just when we're coming up on the Flash.
Oh, wow.
So sad, Micah.
real quick, so we got to be careful not to go down a rabbit hole with the Flash, because we could. This second part of the podcast.
Yeah.
I the feels of Michael Keaton being back, that's drawing me to the Flash.
The whole thing is drawing me to the Flash, but I mean, my concern and hope is that they utilize that James Gunn uses this movie as a way to reboot everything. Like, let's create Flashpoint and use Flashpoint to reset the whole thing, and let's recast characters. Something. I'm looking for this to be the launching point of the new DC.
Yeah, I'm not laughing at you, Jim. I'm laughing. Can y'all just imagine right now what Mike is saying in his household?
Yeah. All right. So before, I don't know if Mike has jumped back in, but before he comes in I'll say this, man. Like, I'm trying to keep my emotions at bay. Because mm-hmm. I don't want to go see this movie, be let down, and then I punch someone in the face on the way out. Because Batman 89 is near and dear to my heart.
Yeah.
And I will be okay. I will be okay if they killed Batman 89. But they better do it in the greatest way, in-game type way possible. Or they could totally continue Michael Keaton on to the Batman Beyond story in an Elseworlds type thing. So I think that...
Damn, Jim. I mean, I understand we were having an argument, but you didn't have to boot me.
I didn't boot you, man. You were just disappeared.
Yeah, you did, man. Why did you boot me? I understand right, that we were having on, a civil
on.
Argument.
All right. Coming up on the keep going, Matt.
With this Flash movie... I think it has the greatest potential of saving DC movies, because it can restart everything, but they have to go into it, and I think James Gunn knows this, is they have to go into it with that fact, or they better have an amazing reason why they're continuing on with the actors, which I will be okay with, but Flash has to change.
Yes.
Like, I think at some point... Flash, like, the Flash can change. Like, yes. When he messes everything up and then everything is fixed, they could totally change the Flash. And it better not be the TV Flash. I would be so freaking pissed.
They just ended his show. It's about to end. It's like
that's
two more episodes.
That's what I'm afraid of. If they're going to use him, they need to put 30 pounds of muscle on that kid. Because
yeah, I know.
I'm sorry.
I know.
I'm sorry. He is just...
Well, they can't use Ezra Miller. They can't continue on with Ezra Miller.
No, they can't. And
I wouldn't be shocked if they do.
What?
I will stop watching DC movies if they bring
CW. They have to separate from Ezra.
I read an article that said that they're trying to get him through therapy and trying to change his image and hoping this movie will change public opinion. I don't think it's going to happen, but...
No. That's not...
Yeah.
No.
Matt, what you were saying. What'd you say? I'll be done with DC if what?
If they were to bring any type of CW into DC movies, like if they were to bring the CW Flash into the DC movies, I'm be like, I'm done. Like, I'm done. Like,
yeah.
They ruined the CW DC show with the whole...
Elseworlds.
Yeah,
Crisis.
Their Crisis storyline.
What
are you talking about? Totally that was the best ruined. Batman that they ever made.
I will do it.
Murder Batman.
Even better than Ben Affleck's Batman.
Hey, actually, Micah, I'm like with you. I'm with you on that one. I'll stand with you on that one. He's better than Ben Affleck.
Don't make me leave this.
Stop, Jim. He knows where we live.
Okay. I think this is a great opportunity to let Michael Keaton get his third movie that he should have got all those years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I personally want it to end there, because we don't get it with Marvel movies, obviously. I need Michael Keaton to come in, be the Batman we always wanted to have and did have and then was let go, and let it end with him saving the Flashpoint And then at some point, I don't know how you're going to do it, but at some point when the movie, when the DC universe is fixed because of Flashpoint at the end, Flashpoint or the Flash changes. Because we're getting two Ezras in this movie.
Can we all agree, though, that there is a lot of pressure on this film for the future of the DCU?
Oh, but hands down. I think this movie's going to show how serious WB or Discovery or whoever owns these movies.
Discovery.
Yeah. I think this is going to show how serious they are moving forward, especially since James Gunn has a timeline now of what he wants to do. This is going to show, like, how serious they are with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and he said that anyone... I know earlier you were talking about you like a Batman movie and, you know, it's the storyline and it's animated. Mm-hmm. He said going on forward that though that stuff's not going to come out anymore. And if so-and-so plays Batman, he will play Batman in live action and voice. If so-and-so plays Superman, he will play Superman in live action and animation. So that's why I don't think we're going to get any of the CW characters. And if we
I'm good with that.
The only one I would take is Stephen Amell's Green Arrow. I liked him as Green Arrow.
Sets a precedent. I mean, I'm with you on that. I agree. That, but it sets that precedent, and I don't want that precedent set.
I agree. And I think they're done. James Gunn is going to let that Gotham Knights show and those are the only two left. The Superman and Lois. I think this is going to be their last season. Good. It's going to expire. They're going to cancel them, and then they're going to start all over with TV shows and animation, which is going to be a bad thing for like stuff that Matt likes, I think. I mean, unless they could get a Batman actor that's not super known, who would demand lots of money. Because, I mean, that's the thing with those. Before, when we had Kevin Conroy was like Chris Hemsworth. He'll play Batman, the voice of Batman, as long as they'll let him. Mm-hmm. So they're going to have to find an actor who will do live action and animation that's not, because I know a lot of people want like Jensen Ackles, for example, to play Batman. Mm-hmm. Like, and I think he'd be a great Batman, but I think he would demand a top dollar to do those kind of animations and live action. Right. And if you want those kind of movies that Matt loves, you know, like Killing Joke and things like that, that were a comic book. And I just feel like they're going to have to find an unknown actor who's not going to demand that top type of money.
And they could
do that. I'm okay with that. They could easily do that. I've always, from the beginning of movies, I am okay with introducing new actors into
roles
like this. Like,
I didn't know who Henry Cavill was. The only thing I saw him in that I remembered was The Count of Monte Cristo. He played like the son. Before he was Superman. That was the only, I mean, I understand he played like Spartacus or something in a movie, but it was a stupid, or Hercules or something like that.
He did one of those,
The Rock was Hercules, and then 300 too was kind of, like, it was during that time where they tried to do a bunch of those. So I didn't really know who he was. But anyways, I think that James Gunn, if he's smart enough, he's going to have to do that. But I'm also afraid he's going to cast a bunch of his Guardians, like,
which I'm actors okay in them. That's a slippery slope. Like,
I
know James Gunn likes to stick with his act, which I'm okay with. You know, Ron Howard does that. Like, he likes to work with people that he's used to. I'm okay with that, but don't make them your major characters. Like, don't bring Brie Larson over from Ms. Marvel's or whatever and then make her Batwoman or something crazy.
Yeah.
I'm okay with all new actors. I'm okay with the current actors. It's not the actors, it's the movies that are struggling for me. Like, this last Shazam movie was not that great, but it wasn't like I came out of it like, oh, this was complete garbage. But I'd also
like Black Adam.
Black Adam was terrible.
Black Adam was another one. I was like, let me tell you, I have no expectation out of a Rock movie. What I expected from Black Adam was like, oh, the Rock is in it. And then that's it. That's all my expectation is it's a Rock
Black Adam movie. was terrible.
It was really
I didn't
bad.
Think it was terrible. I didn't come out of it like, ooh, I have to see it again, you know, like
right.
No.
Yeah.
Like so I am excited for the Flash movie. I am at the same time deathly afraid because the future DC movies hangs in the balance with this movie.
Yes.
And I at the same time I don't think it's going to make any money because of everything that's hanging on it. So, like, I hope they don't base the future of DC movies off what this movie makes, because a lot of people aren't going to see it and a protest of Ezra Miller. A lot of people are going to see it because Michael Keaton is in it. So it's you can't really base how much money it's actually going to make on those two factors alone. So I hope they go into it with a grain of salt thinking, hey, let's just gauge audience feel of how we can do future movies and make future movies like the new Marvel.
I just wonder if like, go ahead, Ron.
I would only be seeing The Flash because of Michael Keaton being in it. Because like you said, 89 Batman holds a special feel in my heart. That was a fun time for movies anyways.
Yeah,
I love Michael Keaton. I think he does need to have that Robert Downey Jr. send-off like Iron Man did in this one, because Alfred's gone. He has nothing to really live for, right? Like, he's always been a dark character.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't get his third movie, like you said. Like, they messed him up out of that one because he didn't want to do it because, one, well, Joel Schumacher, but that's a whole other podcast.
Yes.
But Michael Keaton, I hope, saves this movie because he has such nostalgia for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he does need to die in a way that sends him off as, like, we have a tear-filled moment of the 80s in us.
Yep.
And he has that Robert Downey Jr. moment to where he just... I'm Batman. And I mean, that's just.
I am Batman.
Mr. Keaton, you are not Batman.
Like, even before that, I could care less about Ezra Miller, but Michael Keaton makes me want to go to that.
I'm disappointed in Ezra Miller, though, man, because I thought he made a good Flash.
I agree. I think I'm the opposite. I think this movie's going to make $800 million because of Michael Keaton.
You think so?
Not even close.
Well, okay, so I don't want to see this movie because of Ezra Miller, but I like Ryan, I want to see this movie because of Michael Keaton. And I think a lot of people who are against it are going to see it because, look, I need to see my Batman again. And I think that's why it's going to make a buttload of money.
A what load?
See, and I think
a bum load of money.
I think it's going to make, if your money is going to come overseas because they don't know anything about Ezra Miller.
Oh, that's true.
Everybody here is going to be like, I'm not seeing that garbage. Ezra Miller kidnaps chicks, and he's now they're going to make a movie. I just think, like, I don't think Michael Keaton. I hate to say this because Michael Keaton is my Batman and forever will be my Batman. He's not enough to make this movie $800 million.
Yeah.
I think it will double its investment. And I think that's at as good
minimum.
As
I think it'll triple at minimum, triple its investment.
I think it'll double. Like, I think I'm thinking they put $230 million into this movie. And I think it might be a little more than that because they had to go back and do reshoots.
I think $700 million is a good. I think it'll get 600 million easy.
I think it makes 200.
No, go ahead.
I think it'll make its budget back in the opening weekend.
I believe
globally, it'll make about 200
globally.
I'm guessing it'll make about 120 to 130 million domestically. And then globally, because it's not opening everywhere, and then the first weekend, next weekend, I think is when it opens, the weekend after the movie comes out, it opens everywhere in the world. But I think it'll make about 230 to 240 million on its opening weekend.
All right. Well, I hope so. I hope so for the future of DC movies. I don't think it will. I did hear a rumor that there might be some like multiversal show of all Batman, like including Val Kilmer, George Clooney, which I hate that George Clooney is in this conversation, but like I heard that there's going to be like some show, like not like in direct involvement, but like you see him kind of like in a Marvel type way. You just see these characters because the Flashpoint is being, you know, corrected and everything. But I think if you have something like that, and you have, okay, there needs to be two shock values in this movie. Obviously, mm-hmm. Michael Keaton's not it because they've already introduced him. The toy line is selling out, so that's mm-hmm. promising.
Yeah.
That you know, people are excited for this movie. Like, you cannot find those toys on shelves. So that does give some precedent on how excited people are of this movie. If they have two shock values mm-hmm. that will bring people back, kind of like, and I mean Captain America picking up Mjolnir shock value,
mm-hmm.
you're going to make your $800 million. They have to have at minimum one shock value.
Minimum
to save the DC movie universe. If we don't get that, it's not going to make over $500 million, and people are just not going to, because I love Michael Keaton, but he's not enough to save it, in my opinion. So let's give closing thoughts. I gave all my closing thoughts. Y'all give your closing thoughts on the movies, which I know Jim, what he's most excited about, but what are your closing thoughts? And we're just going to call this part
one. Wait a minute. What do you think I'm most excited about? I'm curious.
Transformers. I would imagine that's probably your most excited about movie, just because it's Transformers.
No, I mean, I'm very excited about it, but I don't think it's my top one.
All right, so I'm curious. What's y'all's top? What are y'all most excited about to see?
Indiana Jones.
Oh, jeez.
Indiana Jones.
I'm so worried about that movie. But anyway, we'll talk about that in part two.
Mission Impossible.
That one is probably going to be my Dead Reckoning Part One. That's probably going to be my number one.
We'll talk about that. Yeah, but yeah. Yes. Mission Impossible.
No, change mine. Mine's Barbie.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, it is.
While you're wearing your tube top. I'm a Barbie girl in a Barbie world.
That's none of your business, okay? That's my other life.
So,
you're just jealous that you can't pull it off.
Oh, man.
I'm excited. I would say that the Flash and Mission Impossible, I don't know, man. There's so many movies coming out, and I'm still overwhelmed, and I can't pick one, because usually we get like one or two good movies a summer for the past 3 years, mm-hmm. and I'm like, I'm still trying to soak in that we get more than two this year.
Yes.
And I'm going to say I'm more excited about Mission Impossible, only because movie tastes are changing.
I'm super stoked for Equalizer 3.
Oh, God, yes, dude, man. Man, we have been talking about this so long because I feel like the show was just ruining the story. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, yeah. I'm so glad they're going to end with a trilogy for Denzel Washington. So,
mm-hmm.
For everybody out there listening and watching, when you watch this on social media, put in the social media what movie you're excited about. It doesn't even have to be this summer. They've named so many movies coming out this year and next year. Drop in the comments what movies you're most excited about. We'll talk about it next time. This was our therapy session on movies that have come out and are coming out. And yes. We thank you so much for joining us again. ICCC coming May 26th through the 28th.
Mm-hmm.
Come out. Go to icnashville.com. See all the great guests that have been announced. Buy your pre-sale tickets for autographs. Buy tickets for the show. It's at a great new venue this year. So many opportunities for stay, hotels. You want to drive your RV down, you can do that. They just did a list of food and trucks that are going to be there for food. My gosh, I'm so excited about that. So please come and join us. Come talk to us. Anybody who's going to show up to the show, if you have any questions about the show, reach out to Jim. Don't bother us. Jim's the knowledgeable one. He knows all the answers. We thank y'all so much. We are ECP, and we will catch you at the show.
Thank you for being a part of our show. Please visit ecpctv.com for information about our show and how to follow us on this epic journey. Stay eclectic. End program.